Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The midterms are coming. Party machines are running at full throttle. The GOP hopes for big gains. Democrats are praying they can hold the line. And in the middle of the national campaign and a national agenda full of worry and woe, there is Pennsylvania's 12th district, a blue-collar, Rust Belt, 2-to-1 Democrat over Republican district that voted for John McCain. Firmly in the grip of rock-solid Blue Dog Democrat, pork-delivering ex-Marine John Murtha from 1974 until his death in February. Now, up for grabs. This hour on Point, we go to Pennsylvania's 12th John Murtha's old district for clues to the fall elections, the midterms. You can join the conversation. What do you see coming in the midterm elections? Changes at the edges or wholesale? Will this be the Tea Party's election, or will they be yesterday's news come the fall? You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Special greeting today to Pennsylvania listeners in and around the 12th District hearing us on WDUQ. That's 90.5 in Pittsburgh and 100.5 on the dial in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, right in the 12th. Let us hear from you. 800-423-TALK. Joining me first today from Washington for the national picture is Ron Brownstein, political director for Atlantic Media Publishers. His articles appear in the National Journal, the LA Times, and the Atlantic. He's author of The Second Civil War, How Extreme Partisanship Has Paralyzed Washington and Polarized America. He's got a big and great new piece on the midterms coming out in the National Journal tomorrow. Ron, welcome.
Hi, Tom. Glad to be back.
This is some great piece of reporting you've done here, really old school and terrific. But we'll dive into the 12th, and I can't wait to get there. John Murtha's old seat. But give us the big picture here first, Ron. When people are counting up the numbers and looking at the polls and looking at what's going on, what does it look like? Here we are X months ahead of the midterm elections. How's it look?
Yeah, it looks like the Republicans have a very good chance of regaining control of the House, though to some extent they may be in a race against the economy, which seems to be producing jobs through the first quarter of this year for the first time in several years. The overview picture is that, you know, the Republicans in the 12 years they were in control never got above 235 seats in the House. The Democrats got as high as 257, 258 in this Congress. And the only reason they got that high was because George W. Bush was so weak in the second half of his second term that Democrats were able to win an awful lot of places that lean Republican. Now, it's going to be very hard to hold those places. Democrats, so the first, I think, key point and a kind of data point here is that Democrats are overexposed in the House. But look, we have a wrong track election where the country is dissatisfied with the direction of the country. That is always problematic for the party in power. And then you have the additional issue for Democrats of, is there an intensity gap? All the polling now says that roughly 35 to 40% of the electorate that is deeply ideologically resistant to the direction that Obama wants to pursue. It can be defined as kind of a Tea Party type movement. It's predominantly white. It is suspicious of an enlarged role for government. They are energized and they are going to vote. And the Obama coalition, as we saw in 2008, is increasingly dependent on non-white and younger voters. And they don't vote typically as often in midterm elections. The electorate tends to be older and whiter, and older and whiter voters, as we see in Pennsylvania 12, are tougher voters for Obama to begin with, and especially tough right now.
We'll look at the 12th. I can't wait to dive in there. But so the big picture in the House is Republicans have a chance to take back the majority. How strong a chance? What chance do the Democrats have of hanging on, Ron?
Well, the Republicans have a serious chance of taking over, but unlike some others, I don't think the cake is entirely baked yet. I look at two layers of this. The districts like the Pennsylvania 12th district that are predominantly white and predominantly working class. In other words, very few of those white voters are college educated. They're not suburban. It's kind of a metal bending or lunch bucket district where people work with their hands. Those are going to be very tough for Democrats between, and it's hard to see exactly what turns that around between now and November. Obama did not perform well among white voters without a college education in 2008. He only won 40% of them. His approval rating is down among them to about 35-36%. So when you're talking about districts that are dominated by those kinds of voters, I think it is a real uphill climb for Democrats. And you add to the fact that those are the places that are likely to feel recovery last. To me, so I think the Democrats are going to endure substantial losses there. To me, the question is, can they hold the line largely in those places? And can they restore and hold on to more of those upscale suburban districts that have been trending their way since the 90s that are more likely to feel better about the economy between now and November, particularly if the Dow recovers, and where you have more of this socially liberal, college-educated vote, particularly women, who are less antagonized, I think, by the direction, the overall ideological direction of the Obama presidency. So to me, that's the line they have to find a way to hold, because I think whatever happens on Tuesday in Pennsylvania, districts like this are going to be very tough for Democrats in November.
Ron Brownstein, stand by if you would. I want to get right into Pennsylvania's 12th District and the special election coming up next Tuesday to fill the remaining term of John Murtha, who died in February after many, many years of representing this district. This is a southwest Pennsylvania, sort of south and a little west of Pittsburgh, and you heard how Ron Brownstein describes the turf. We're joined right now from Johnstown, Pennsylvania, in Pennsylvania's 12th, by Chip Minnemeyer. He's editor-in-chief of the Johnstown Tribune Democrat. He moderated a debate last week between candidates Mark Kritz, Democrat, and Tim Burns, Republican, in Johnstown on May 5th. Chip Minnemeyer, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Tell us about now. We know this is a complicated race because you have a primary election going on next Tuesday to actually win the next term for this seat in November. But you've got a special election on Tuesday to fill it out for the remainder of the term. And who are the candidates, the top contenders for in that race, Chip?
Well, this is an absolutely fascinating situation, I think, with two races for the same House seat on the same day, essentially.
Yeah,
we've got a special election in which the candidates were chosen by their party leaders in the 12th District. And those candidates are Mark Kritz, a Democrat, former John Murtha staffer, and Tim Burns, the Republican, who's actually a native of Johnstown but founded a company elsewhere in the district and had business associations elsewhere in the district and now is running for Congress. And there's also a Libertarian candidate who will be on the ballot in the special election as Demo Agoras, who I'm guessing will not be a huge factor in the race. It'll come down to the two primary party candidates for the special election. Simultaneous with that, voters in this district will be looking at two primary elections. On the Democratic side, Kritz will be joined by two other Democrats, Ron Mackel and Ryan Buccinieri. Mm-hmm. And on the Republican side, it's very interesting, Burns is one of two candidates in that primary election. The other one is William Russell, who ran against John Murtha 2 years ago and actually garnered 42% of the vote, but has been kind of left out by his own party and is now running in the primary against Tim Burns. So it's very interesting.
So we're reading that the Republican, a millionaire, business founder, entrepreneur, Tim Burns, is carrying a little tougher challenge here because he has a serious contender in the primary at the same time he's running in the special election.
Yeah, and we ran a poll recently and asked people, are you more likely to vote for the same person in both elections? And 50-some percent of them said they would, which leaves 45% who either said they wouldn't or weren't sure. So that's kind of an interesting thing. You've got Russell, who actually has outraised all of the other candidates in the 12th district. And a lot of his money comes from outside the district, national money. And he's a serious guy that Mr. Burns is going to have to deal with in this primary.
Now, Chip, help us understand the politics of the district that you're right in the middle of there. Voted for John Kerry, then voted for John McCain. Went for Democrat John Murtha for many, many years, but he was very much a blue dog, kind of conservative Democrat. How would you describe the political profile of this district, and is it changing?
I don't know that it's changing. It's socially and financially a relatively conservative area. Certainly a lot of folks, I think Ron gave a pretty strong description of the kind of the background educationally and structurally of what you see here in this district. It's predominantly a white district and education probably isn't on par with some of the other districts that are more urban or suburban and certainly more conservative in terms of their family values and those types of issues.
Ron Brownstein, what are you going to be looking for in the results of Pennsylvania's 12th race here, races?
Wow, just listening to that description of the primary, as an observer, it's complicated. Imagine as a voter.
Yes.
Look, I think that the issue here is the same one we have seen, to me, primarily in other elections since 2008. In the New Jersey governor's race and the Virginia governor's race, the Democratic candidates won less than 30% of white voters without a college education. In Massachusetts, in the best polls that we have, Martha Coakley ran even with Scott Brown among college-educated whites in those upscale suburbs, but she lost the blue-collar vote, white blue-collar vote, 2-1. And you saw that in the geographic returns as well as the post-election polling. I think the same question is here. I mean, it's possible that Democrats will hold this seat because they have an advantage in that they have a competitive primary for the Senate on the same day, and that will give Democrats, perhaps, I'd be interested in the thought, more reason to turn out than mm-hmm. Republicans. But the overall question is, are Democrats looking at a stampede away from them among working class white voters who tend to be more ideologically skeptical that government is ever going to reach down and help them, and who are hurting in this economy? That's exactly what happened in 1994. It was districts like this that where the primary movement was to Republicans. And demographically, when you look at the exit polls, the primary movement from Democrats in 92 to Republicans in 94 when they took the House and the Senate was among these working class white voters. There are fewer of these districts than there used to be. So the threat is more contained. The country is changing. It's becoming more diverse. But nonetheless, that's what I will be looking for. If this pattern continues, it is going to leave the Democrats with a very thin margin of error in any other kind of district if they totally get routed in districts like this. Real quick, there are 18 other Democratic seats where at least 80% of the population is white and less than 20% of them have a college degree. And pretty much all of them are in danger.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We are going to Democrat John Murtha's old district in Pennsylvania this hour for a glimpse of what may lie ahead for Republicans and Democrats in this fall's midterm election. Ron Brownstein joins us from Washington, political director for Atlantic Media Company. Chip Minnemeyer has been with us from Johnstown, Pennsylvania. He's editor-in-chief of the Johnstown Tribune Democrat and right in the middle of the big race there. We'll turn to candidates and their backers in just a moment. There was a very recent debate between the Republican and Democratic candidate for the special election next Tuesday to fill the remaining months of John Murtha's seat. Tim Burns, Republican, up against Mark Critz, Democrat, who had worked for John Murtha. Let's listen to a little bit of that. Here's the Republican candidate, Tim Burns, during the debate in Johnstown last week, telling voters that the race for the 12th district seat is no local turf war.
The entire country is now watching this election because of what it now represents. This election represents a battle that is between bigger government, more intrusive government, more regulations, higher taxes, and balanced budgets, fiscal responsibility, and a bright future for our children.
There we go. Tim Burns saying a bright future for our children, talking about big, intrusive government and his Republican message. Here's Mark Critz, the Democratic candidate at the same debate, wasn't going to take his opponent's accusations and said he would go to Washington to serve Western Pennsylvania.
I want to remind my opponent that this campaign is the 12th Congressional District of Pennsylvania. We keep talking about Washington, D.C. I'm worried about Washington, PA. I'm worried about the towns here. I'm worried about the people here. I'm going to be the independent voice for the people back here in Western Pennsylvania, not worried about what they're doing in Washington, D.C.
I'm going to represent Western Pennsylvania, not worry about Washington, D.C. We're going to Mark Critz in just a moment. Let's get one call in here first. Larry in Middlefield, Connecticut. You're on the air, Larry. What do you see?
Hey, first of all, I was a John Murtha supporter. Okay. I think he's very conservative as a blue dog Democrat. But I think bringing President Clinton into the area is just a high sign and will just signal to everybody they're afraid to bring Obama in.
Obama.
I think at least Obama went up to Massachusetts to help try to campaign for Coakley. I would think you could get the president in there at least for 20 minutes to help pull it out if they thought he would help.
It's a good question, Larry. It's a good question. Let us put it straight to the Democratic candidate in Pennsylvania's 12th District, if I may. Mark Kritz joins us right now from Johnstown, Pennsylvania. He worked for Congressman John Murtha for over a decade. He's with us from his district right now. Candidate Kritz, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
You hear our caller. He's saying you've got former President Clinton coming, not President Obama, because President Obama wouldn't help you in your district. What do you say to that?
Well, I have to say that, you know, I'm thrilled that President Clinton is coming in for me. If you remember, in 2008, he came in for Congressman Murtha for a big rally. And, you know, it just it helps tie my candidacy to the history of this district and to the work I did for Mr. Murtha. So I'm very happy about President Clinton coming in. But, you know, truthfully, Tom, I'm not worried about, who specifically supports me and who doesn't. I'm very happy with the wide support that I've received from both, Republicans and Democrats, liberals and conservatives. It's a very diverse group that is supporting my candidacy because, you know, truthfully, I've been running about local issues. When I'm out in the field, I'm talking about the economy. I'm talking about jobs. And that's what people are talking to me about. They're concerned about what's going to happen in the future. And, you know, the one thing I did learn from Mr. Murtha is that we have to look at the future. We have to work towards it. And that's really what I'm dedicated to doing.
Brand new poll out this week says a majority of voters in your district do not approve of President Obama's job performance. Is that a drag on your campaign?
Well, I'm focused on my campaign. I'm not going to worry about what polls say or don't say about other people. I just have to worry about what my message is and what I'm hearing from the people out in the field. That's what I've been concentrating on. This is day 80 of my candidacy. I have five more till the election. I think that my message is being carried forward. It's about local issues. It's about local people. It's about Western Pennsylvania. And I think that will carry the day.
John Murtha was famous for bringing home the bacon for his district in a big, big way, sometimes controversially successful in doing that. Does that still work as a promise these days when people are so worried about spending and deficits, Mark Kritz?
Well, you know, obviously I'm not going to be Jack Murtha. I mean, he was the chairman of the Defense Appropriations Subcommittee. What I promise people is that I'm going to work extremely hard to help them with their priorities. And, you know, wherever I can help, whoever I'm working with, you know, I'm going to reach across the aisle. I'm going to work with people who are talking about helping the economy and help bring jobs back here to Western PA.
Does that mean that you're also promising to go for the bacon to bring it home or not?
Well, you know, the way we work back here in the district is that the county commissioners, the local officials, bring us their priorities, the projects they feel are the most important to their communities. And if there's an opportunity to direct money to that project, certainly I'm going to go after it. If it means jobs for Western Pennsylvania, yes, I'm going to do my best to create an environment where the economy will grow here.
You've been pretty critical of President Obama's health care reform. Why? And would you have voted for it? Will you support it if there's a repeal attempt in Congress?
Well, before the bill was passed, you know, I'd come out and said that I wouldn't have supported it, and it was for some specific reasons. One of the things that the administration said going in was that they were going to have an open and transparent process, and they immediately went behind closed doors. Now, everyone knows if you want to have the American citizen buy in to support what you're doing, you have to let them know that's what's going on. And what I was hearing on the campaign trail was that, hey, we don't know what's going on. And then, you know, it came out of the Senate that, they had things like the Louisiana Purchase in. And certainly, you know, people aren't going to support something when you're doing things like that. And, you know, back here in Pennsylvania, we actually have an issue with the average wage index, which is hospitals receive their Medicare reimbursement based on the average wage index. And in Western Pennsylvania, we are the lowest or one of the lowest in the country. And it's really hurting our hospitals and their bottom lines. I mean, we have hospitals that, they have no room to breathe. They're doing the best they can. They're being as efficient as possible. And it was one of the provisions that Mr. Murtha had been working on in the bill to get included in the bill was a fix for that, and that was not included either. So,
Mark Kritz, if you're elected, and there's a repeal effort, would you vote for it to repeal or not?
Well, you know, what I've learned back here in the district and the way we operate is, hey, it's the law. And there obviously it's not the best product that, you know, I would have liked. But, you know, we have to look forward. We have to figure out ways to improve it. And, you know, I'm not about looking backward. We need, you know, and obviously the healthcare system that existed was crushing small business. So, you know, what we had before was obviously no peach either. So, you know, looking forward, we need to go to work and fix what we can fix and do the things that we can do.
Mark Kritz, Democratic candidate to fill out the remaining term of longtime Congressman from Pennsylvania's 12th, John Murtha. Mr. Kritz, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
We invited the Republican Tim Burns on, but he's out in the district. We're out of cell phone reach in this hour. We're going to hear from a supporter in just a moment. But Chip Minnemeyer in Johnstown, editor-in-chief of the newspaper there. How's Mark Kritz doing with his line?
Well, it certainly seems to play well with folks in a lot of the local community, and it actually played well with our editorial board, to be perfectly, to be in full disclosure here. We were looking for the candidate that would bring the best approach for the region and for the district, less so than for Washington. And when we did our endorsement this past Sunday, and you can read it on our website, that was the real key factor, that Mr. Kritz seemed to be more focused on working with the local communities in a local district than Mr. Burns was, although, you know, we found them both to be engaging men and solid candidates.
We'll go to a supporter of Tim Burns here in just a moment. Let's get a call from Dutchess County, New York. Not so far. Susan, you're on the air, Susan.
Yeah, I was just going to comment on the person who said about bringing in Obama, and maybe they brought in Clinton because they didn't want Obama in the district. I think that's fine. I mean, I don't think that they should bring Obama. I mean, why? I think that would be political suicide, because that district, independence, and their personal issues are important. I wouldn't want to associate myself with the giants of the federal government, even if they were in my party. And I think most people don't understand the kind of independence that that someone like Obama represents. He is an independent in his own way. Maybe because of this consensus stuff, people don't realize that he looks like he's always just compromising or something, trying to bring people together.
But you might not bring him in for this election either. And we've got it, Susan, and thanks for your call. We're at 800-423-8255. Ron Brownstein in Washington, in this election, beyond, how do you see President Obama playing in these midterms?
Well, it's interesting. You know, it pretty much tells you all you need to know about the assessment of each party, about the climate, when one candidate is talking about nationalizing the election, as the Republican did,
right,
and one candidate is talking about localizing it,
yes,
as the Democrat did. And that's what you have to do to try to win behind enemy lines. I think Obama will have a very disparate impact on this election, to use a phrase from affirmative action law. In the districts that he lost, or the districts where he was right at the margin, his approval rating is probably underwater at this point, under 50%, and you will see the Republican candidates running aggressively against them. The question for me is whether he can, through probably economic growth between now and November, recover enough where he can help the Democrats in the districts that he carried. There are 48 House Democrats in districts that McCain won. A lot of them are vulnerable. We could see more than two dozen, maybe over 30 of them lose, which means that the Democrats have to really hold down their losses among the 208 Democrats who are in districts that also voted for Obama in 2008. And, you know, while he, if you look at his approval rating today, it's kind of an interesting story. I mean, on the one hand, he is low for a president this early in his presidency to be right around 50%. On the other hand, he's at 50% with 9.9% unemployment. Ronald Reagan was around 40% when unemployment hit double digits. So he still has a solid base, and that is more likely to be a factor in these places that liked him to begin with. And I think recovering some strength in those places, and also, as I said before, finding a way to inspire those first-time and non-traditional voters, the non-white voters, the young people who were so critical to his victory in 2008, to do what they usually don't, come out in a midterm election, that's going to be important for Democrats. Doesn't really play in a place like this. You know, a 94% white district, only 17% college graduates, a lot of problems there. You know, we haven't mentioned at all Alan Mollahan, a veteran Democrat from West Virginia, in a mirror image demographic district, almost exactly the same, 94% white, he lost a primary on Tuesday to a Democrat who ran to his right. So that was another marker of the difficulty Democrats face in districts like this. The numbers aren't great for Democrats right now, even among college-educated white voters. They're still strong among minority voters. But that is where you could imagine more recovery between now and November. And I think Obama, to narrow in on your question, Obama needs to find a way to help the Democrats, I think primarily in the places that he carried. And the Democrats really need to minimize their losses in those places, because districts like this that went for McCain are going to be very tough.
Let's go once more to the 12th District in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Ann Wilson joins us. She's a Republican supporter of candidate Tim Burns. She's deputy mayor of Johnstown and the only Republican on the 9-member city council. She's vice chair of the county GOP. Ann Wilson, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom.
How do you see your candidate's campaign going?
I think my candidate's campaign is going terrific. We have had overwhelming support throughout, particularly in this county. And as you had pointed out earlier, this is one of the only districts. Actually, this is the only district in the United States that actually switched after going for Kerry in 2004, actually went for John McCain in 2008. So for Republicans, this is all great news, and it keeps getting better.
What message do you see working, to the extent that it is, for Tim Burns?
I think, well, Tim is different. He's not politics as usual. He is the working man. He's kind of fulfilled the dream of all of us who work every day. He's created his own business. He worked hard, created a lot of jobs, and saw economic growth without a lot of government intervention. And I think that's a key issue in this election.
How important is Tea Party support for Tim Burns here?
In this district, in this county particularly, I can't say we've seen overwhelming Tea Party activism. However, I do think that that whole movement is significant, and that people are, it's a referendum on the Obama agenda, that people are getting tired of all this government involvement and the Obama, the health care that you touched on earlier. That's not going to play well in the 12th Congressional District.
And yet, John Murtha was a Democrat who brought home a lot of cash for Pennsylvania's 12th District, and with that, jobs.
He did, and jobs, as always, are the key, are number one. Any polling you do, anyone you talk to from this district, and Cambria County is going to tell you, jobs and the economy are always number one. This area struggles. It is a blue-collar type town, and jobs are going to come in number one, and Congressman Murtha had delivered in that area. But as we know, unfortunately, Mark Chris is not Jack Murtha, and I think people are ready for something different and a change.
You said President Obama might not be a help for Mark Critz, but and a majority in your district disapprove of President Obama's job performance, but only 52%. I mean, it's a pretty narrow majority. Is that still does 48% or whatever it is make us not a bad base for Democrats, given how bad unemployment is?
I guess you could say that, but I think if you start looking, the registration tells one story, but I think the individual issues tell a different story. I mean, the approval for the health care is down very low. These Democrats are your conservative, as you touched on, the blue dog Democrats, pro-life, which is a rarity in a lot of areas in the country, not in Pennsylvania's 12th. Mm-hmm. These Democrats are pro-life, they're pro-Second Amendment, they're very conservative, and they're going to go with a candidate that leads them, not necessarily by party.
Latest polling, this is from Susquehanna Polling and Research, and I'm sure you know it, but this was just this week, says that Mark Critz, the Democrat, is leading your candidate, Republican Tim Burns, 44% to 38%. That was with a week to go. What are you expecting next Tuesday, Ann Wilson?
I am expecting a resounding victory, and as we all know in politics, the only poll that counts is the one that's going to be here on Tuesday, May 18th, and we expect a resounding victory.
Ann Wilson, Deputy Mayor of Johnstown and Republican supporter of candidate Tim Burns. Thanks for joining us, Ann.
Thank you, Tom.
Chip, we've just got half a minute before the break. What about these poll numbers? Does Mark Critz have it, or is it still up for grabs?
I think it's a dead heat at this point. We've seen various polls, some done by the candidates and some by independent organizations, and nothing tells me that anything's been decided yet. A lot of it's going to come down to what people's whims are in the last few days leading up to the elections, and maybe that's why it's important to get some of these folks in to visit, whether it's President Clinton or Senator Brown or whoever, in the last few days to kind of catch those folks who are undecided or on a fence and kind of knock them one way or the other.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're going to Democrat John Murtha's old district in Pennsylvania this hour. for a glimpse of what may lie ahead for Republicans and Democrats in this fall's midterm elections. Special election in Pennsylvania's 12th district for John Murtha's the remainder of his seat next Tuesday. Mark Kritz, the Democrat, former aide to John Murtha, his district rep. And on the Republican side, Tim Burns, entrepreneur, millionaire, who's going at it hard. And it's a dead heat, says Chip Minnemeyer. He's with us, editor-in-chief of the Johnstown Tribune Democrat, right there in Pennsylvania's 12th. Ron Brownstein is with us as well from Washington. He's writing about all this in a great new piece in the National Journal that's coming out this week. Check it out. It's really terrific. Let's go to callers. Chesapeake, Virginia. Paul, you're on the air, Paul.
Yes. Hi, Tom. This is Paul. I just wanted to make a small comment. During the election campaign, Mr. President said there is no blue state and no red state, but there is United States of America.
Yep.
But during a year and a half, he not only divided deeper the blue state than the red state, but he carved out a middle state, which is the independent. And I wanted to say a sarcastic thank you to him for creating that, because in process of destroying our way of life, he is destroying himself too and this administration.
We'll look at independence and the Obama effect there, Paul. I appreciate your call. Let's get one more. Humboldt, Iowa. Joe, you're on the air, Joe.
Hello, Tom. Great program, as always. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
And that really feeds exactly into my point, where I think it was Meet the Press was on a couple weeks ago, where they had Gerald Ford, and an interview from about 1965, 66, talking about the great gains that the Republicans had made in the midterm elections then. And that was based on the civil rights legislation. And you don't really hear too many Republicans bragging about that anymore. And one other quick comment is hope for the Democrats in this election. You know, we need government regulation on the banking industry and on Wall Street to make things fair for Main Street. And the people in Western Pennsylvania, just like the people in Iowa, they're hardworking, Main Street, you know, heart of the earth people. And, you know, if the Democrats can take that message to them, they're going to win every election this year. So thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Joe, let us pick it up. Chip Minnemeyer in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. What do you hear on this front? You know, there's, on the one hand, we hear dissatisfaction with big government. On the other hand, we hear dissatisfaction with Wall Street and a call for regulation. There's some tension there. How's that playing out in this race?
Well, I think I hear a lot more of the former than the latter, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
You know, certainly both sentiments exist, but I think the louder call has been for, you know, reducing the size of government, bringing down government spending, opponents to the health care bill, those kinds of sentiments. I certainly heard those voices much louder.
And, Ron, what do you see nationally on that front? You know, big government complaint versus save us from predatory lenders.
Right. And I think this is the biggest surprise in the electoral climate and the political climate for the Obama administration. I mean, they came in after the biggest failure of the markets since really the Great Depression. And they thought there was going to be an opening for a very aggressive agenda aimed at expanding government's role in dealing with all sorts of problems facing the country, from the economy to healthcare. And instead, what's happened is that the anxiety about the direction of the country really has been focused more at big government than big business in these last 15, 16 months, and that really is the wave that Republicans are riding. Having said that, as I mentioned before, I think the polling tells us there's somewhere around 40% of the electorate that views everything that's happening the way your first caller did, that Obama is fundamentally taking us away from American tradition toward an overly intrusive state. There's another chunk of the electorate that supports his direction, like your second caller, who says that we need this level of government intervention and activism to deal with our problems. And then you have, I think, the decisive bloc, which is kind of agnostic. They don't really have a dog in this fight. They don't really ideologically respond to more or less government. But right now, they don't see results from enough results from Obama's approach. And I think the risk for Democrats is that those voters don't see results by November, and most of them vote Republican. The risk for Republicans is that if the economy continues to recover by 2011 and 2012, those less ideological voters will start to feel better about the Obama agenda and might be put off by a very, you know, a staunchly ideological message from Republicans that we're seeing in things like Senator Bob Bennett's defeat last weekend in the Utah convention, and in Charlie Crist being driven out of the party, Arlen Specter being driven out of the party last year. He might be driven out of both parties by the time this is over. So, but right now, there's no question there is a lot of energy in that anti-government message, and it will be, I think, a powerful force in 2010. The landscape could look different in 2012, both if the economy recovers and also, as I mentioned before, the electorate will be bigger and different. It will be – there will be more minorities. There will be more young people, and they are much more – both of those groups are much more open to the sort of activism that Obama has put in motion.
Chip Minnemeyer, what about the economy in Pennsylvania's 12th? Do you see signs of a turnaround there or not, and how's it playing?
Here's kind of what's going on in the 12th district. We didn't have as many deep drops and as big a problem with real estate in some of those areas as a lot of the areas of the country did. So, you know, we didn't have as far to come back, but coming back has been a very slow process. And I think, you know, the hiring has not kept pace with some areas that are maybe recovering a little more quickly. And, you know, that's kind of the backdrop against which both of these candidates are offering their jobs, platforms and kind of putting out their plans for, wading into this economic recovery process.
Let's go to Nick in Norwich, Connecticut. Nick, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
I just want to make a couple of points. Number one, the Tea Party movement is not a unified thing. There are all kinds of stray cats and dogs and people mad about this and mad about the other, all for very good individual reasons, but it's not cohesive, and bits and pieces of it will be picked off, as somebody was just saying, as things improve. Now, I'm a Republican. I did not vote for Obama, but I have to say that the Obama administration is doing an unbelievably good job in every phase, from foreign policy right through. They were presented with a situation that, frankly, I believed in the Republican ideology, but the last 20 years have shown that it frankly doesn't work. It doesn't work in the international level, and it absolutely did not work in the economy.
Nick, let me ask you, an awful lot of Republicans, Nick, are not singing your song. Why?
Yeah, but they're wrong. But they've been pushing this theoretical agenda since Reagan, and you know we wound up in the ditch. It doesn't work, and you know the vast American public is beginning to see. Now, the people are mad right now about the economy, and justifiably so. But it takes a long time to turn an aircraft carrier the size of America around, probably decades.
Nick, we've got it, and I appreciate your call. Ron Brownstein, Nick refers there to the vast American public, and you've been pointing at this again and again, but your big piece in the National Journal this week is talking about just how kind of bifurcated or trifurcated, I'm not sure what the word is, that vast American public is. And it's got some rather different wings now.
Right. Well, we are deeply, as you know, you mentioned my last book, The Second Civil War, 2 years ago. We are as the title would suggest, we are a deeply polarized country now. We are deeply polarized along partisan lines, ideological lines, racial and ethnic lines. There is a huge gap on every question now. Any question that touches on the role of government in the Obama administration, there is an enormous chasm between the white and non-white electorate. There are big gaps within the white electorate, between these blue-collar, working-class families that tend to be very skeptical of Obama and skeptical of his agenda. College-educated white men, also very skeptical. The one part of the white electorate that's quite different in polling are college-educated white women who tend to be more socially liberal and also more open to activist government. We have a lot of fissures in our society, and we also have a more absolutist politics in Washington. I mean, I believe we are moving toward a quasi-parliamentary politics when there is less and less tolerance for legislators voting against their party on big issues. We saw Bennett lose last week. We could see Arlen Specter lose next week in the Senate primary. Blanche Lincoln, the Democrat from Arkansas, facing a very serious challenge. Alan Mollahan, in of course, losing, as I mentioned, in West Virginia. So more and more pressure for legislators to stand with the bulk of their party against the other on big issues, and yet the distance between the parties widening and them separating not only on ideological but also racial lines. It adds up to a very difficult kind of formula through which to govern a country. And, you know, you see the party voting line voting in Congress today is at the highest level it's been since the turn of the 20th century. And yet, you know, if you're Lindsey Graham, you know, if you're a Republican out there and you look at what happened to Bennett, are you going to put your name on a bill that might have support from President Obama? Hard to see that. And so all of the forces we have are working toward highlighting our differences rather than our similarities.
We're going to hear in just a couple of minutes from California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger on the immigration front. Let's go to Buffalo, New York, and Ash. Ash, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. And my point actually is in regards to the callers from before, and I don't understand what they are talking about when they say that President Obama has actually polarized the political environment even more, that they say that he lied about his promise to not consider a blue state or a red state, but it's the United States of America. He has been reaching across the aisle throughout the past, 2 years throughout his election. He's been trying his best to offer concessions to the Republicans. He's been reaching across the aisle, and all he gets back is, they slap his hand back, pretty much.
And, Ash, I got it. Our time is short here. I appreciate your call. Chip Minnemeyer, what about the cultural side of this race? Ron has pointed out that you've got one of the whitest districts in the country at this point. Is that a factor here in the way people are thinking about what's going on nationally and what's going on in your district election?
It may be, but we've got, especially in the primary election, you've got two guys who are very similar ages, both white men who are former businessmen. One has been in politics a bit, but, and as some of the issues that might come into play there, abortion, gun control, they're lock and step with one another. Mm-hmm. So I don't see it playing out in this particular race.
And what about in these last few days before the vote next Tuesday? You've got Scott Brown coming in, the new Massachusetts senator. You've got Bill Clinton coming in. What do you see this hinging on, Chip?
Well, I think the Republicans certainly see this as the first test of their goal of retaking Washington, and that's where that's the basket where their eggs are placed. They're betting the voters will care more about these national issues, health care and big government than the local economy. And I think the Democrats are betting that someone who has ties to the former congressman here will be more in touch with the voters of this district. And whether or not the Republican ideology is enough to trump a 2-1 voter edge for the Democrats, it's going to be fun to watch on Tuesday. And I think turnout's going to be a part of the whole equation, because we have, as you've mentioned, a very competitive Senate primary race between Arnold Specter and Joe Sestak. We've also got gubernatorial races going on with various candidates on both sides. So a lot happening in Pennsylvania, and the 12th district, will kind of ebb and flow right along with some of these bigger statewide races.
We will be watching your bellwether right there in Pennsylvania's 12th district. Chip Minnemeyer, editor-in-chief of the Johnstown Tribune Democrat. He moderated the debate between Mark Kritz and Tim Burns. His paper has endorsed the Democratic candidate Mark Kritz for the special election. Chip Minnemeyer, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And Ron Brownstein, terrific piece coming out this week in the National Journal. You want to know what's going on in American politics, read it. Ron, thank you very much for joining us this hour.
Thanks for having me.
In a moment, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's address to Emory University graduates. This is On Point. This graduation season, we're airing excerpts from commencement addresses from around the country. On Monday, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger addressed 3,900 graduates at Emory University in Atlanta. He joked about his own immigration status.
I was also to go and give a commencement speech in Arizona. But with my accent, I was worried they're going to deport me back to Austria. So I canceled that idea right away.
As he concluded his address, Governor Schwarzenegger went on to talk more seriously about the extra responsibility that comes to immigrants in America.
As an immigrant, it is very important to give back, more so than on anyone. If you're born here, it's important to give back. But if you come here as an immigrant, yes, it's twice as important to give something back. Because this country received you with open arms. This is the land of opportunity. I know that I would have not accomplished even 10% of the things that I accomplished if I wouldn't have come to the United States. This is, without any doubt, the greatest country in the world. Even though there's so many people complaining about America, I say to them, shut up! This is the greatest country in the world. This is why I wanted to give something back. So I became governor, and we started to make things change. We change things to rebuild California's infrastructure, workers' compensation. We reformed government to make government run more efficiently and to fight global warming and reduce our greenhouse gas emissions by 25% by the year 2020 to fight global warming and also not to rely on the oil that comes from countries that hate us. Yes, we're going to fight and continue doing that. And finally, we also woke up the federal government to make sure that they have an environmental policy in place very soon and an energy policy. Those are the kind of positive changes that I went after. With all of this action happening, it was all happening because we worked very hard. We didn't think about ourselves, but we thought about how can we help the state and the country. And we went out global. Now, of course, when I talk about this, when I talk about how important it is for each and every one of you to go out and do that, I don't think about that you should go global or that you should go that big. Like I said, I just happen to be very ambitious. You all should go and be hungry for success. You should be hungry to make your mark, and you should be hungry to be seen and to be heard and to have an effect out there. But as you move on and become successful, make sure to also stay hungry for helping others and looking beyond that mirror. Start by simple things like coaching a school soccer team or helping a child learn and to read or deliver meals to someone who is homebound. We in California now have 7 million volunteers. And I was the first governor to appoint a cabinet secretary to be in charge of volunteerism and service. Now other governors are doing the same thing around the country. Use your power of potential and make this nation and this world a better place. It worked for this immigrant that came over here to this country with $20 in the pocket, and I know and I guarantee you it will work for you too, the 2010 graduates of Emory University. I am proud of each and every one of you, of how far you've come, and I know you're going to be great, great contribution to this state and to the world. So congratulations once again, and God bless all of you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger speaking to graduates at Emory University in Atlanta on Monday. You can see a video of Governor Schwarzenegger's commencement address at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Tom Ashbrook. Thanks for joining us. This is On Point.